From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on The Field Trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with the most interesting people in arts and entertainment in San Francisco Bay Area and Marin County. I chat with artists and singers, actors, writers, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area such a fun and fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's Field Trip is the East Bay Theater director, playwright John Tracy. Tracy is a graduate of the Solano College Actor Training Program. At the Shotgun Players in Berkeley, where he is a company member, he's written and directed a number of plays in recent years. He's also directed for ACT, The Aurora, the San Francisco Playhouse, and a dozen other established theaters in the Bay Area. He's recently been commissioned to write a play about Joan of Arc, which will be entitled All of the Above. He's the recipient of a Kennedy Center Achievement Award and an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. And his current project is as an affiliate artist with the Marin Shakespeare Company, where his controversial steampunk version of Shakespeare's The Tempest opened last week. Please welcome to The Field Trip, Mr. John Tracy. Welcome, John.
Wow, nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, let me get a bit of background about you first. Where were you born and raised?
I'm Vallejo, California.
So you're a local guy.
I'm a local guy, through and through.
And you went to Solano College, and you went to the acting program there, which is, I know, under the direction of the wonderful Bay Area actor and teacher George McGuire, who sings your praises.
Most definitely. I'm just one of those guys that, growing up in the Vallejo school systems, I decided to, right around 16, I'd already been, devoting my life to theater from, the age of 10, 11, 12, that area, when a guy named Terry Rucker, who's a fantastic friend of mine still, got me into theater. And it started to take over, and high school seemed a little less important. And I went on to independent study at 16, and that's when I started up at Solano College in their actor training program and did that, along with finishing up my high school's diploma at the same time, and just kept working from there. I actually met George early on as well, about 12 or 13, and we've stayed friends ever since. Actually, all of that faculty has been instrumental then and continue to be instrumental now in just what I do, and it's been great to work with all of them in different ways. Even Robert Parsons, who plays Prospero in this current production, I actually met as he was my first scene study teacher at in the actor training program.
And now you get to direct him.
Yeah, payback or something like that, yeah.
Well, listen, I recently had on my show two of the principals who starred in one of your plays called Born and Raised.
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about that play?
Well, yeah, it's something that's still in me workshopping. In fact, Scott DeTurk, who you interviewed, who again, strangely enough, I met almost 20 years ago, and when he was workshopping a musical version of The Ghost of Mrs. Muir at Solano College. And then we kind of reconnected now. He and I are both excited to get back to Born and Raised and look at his next incarnation down the line. But we've both been busy in the meantime. Scott's obviously a fantastic, fantastic composer, and the idea of working on this new play with him was something that I couldn't pass up.
Let's just tell my audience that Scott DeTurk is a wonderful musician and composer and Marin County resident.
Most definitely. You just try to surround yourself. You try to put yourself into the room with people that you can learn from, and no better example than Scott DeTurk. Another example of someone that you would like to be in the room with is Scarlett Hepworth. And the rest of the cast of Born and Raised. It was just so lucky to work on a new piece with folks that would be such champions of the work, champions of these new characters, and help me steer this play into something recognizable, something tangible, something meaningful. And I think from knowing Scarlett that she's just, she's just grade A. She's the top of the line.
Absolutely marvelous actor.
Mm-hmm. And marvelous person. as someone who just never forgot in the creation of a product, you just never forgot why you were doing it. Most definitely. I can't wait to work on that one again.
Yeah, she did a marvelous job for you. If you're just joining us today, my guest on The Field Trip is theatre director and playwright John Tracy. John, let's turn to your version of The Tempest, currently playing Under the Stars at Forest Meadows Amphitheatre in San Rafael.
Yeah.
Now, I described it as steampunk. That's a word that people might not be familiar with. Can you explain a little bit what's meant by steampunk?
You know, I can and I can't, because it's funny how when we're trying to describe the plays that we're doing, it's really easy to call something steampunk. Or a few years ago, I did a version of Animal Farm, which was very quickly labeled the hip-hop version of Animal Farm. But unfortunately, neither of those things clearly encompass what's happening. There's an inspiration of steampunk, and I can tell you what that generally is that it's this notion that came out from the book The Difference Machine in the mid-90s, which posited the idea that what would happen if the Industrial Revolution had happened earlier, and that we would have gone through the early 1900s in a much more mechanized way, just kind of building this classic feeling with a more advanced machinery, kind of merging these two worlds into this very artistic looking and scientifically advanced space, but still still based on some of the attire and culture that was prevalent in the 1900s.
So the time period that you set it in, it feels very turn of the 20th century, from the clothing to the social manners. And you've created Prospero, the lead character in the play, as an inventor inspired by Nikola Tesla and Da Vinci.
Yeah. That was all inspiration. I try to stay away from making a concept that sticks Shakespeare entirely into a recognizable context, I suppose is what I'm trying to say. But just glean from different ideas and places, and actually just create our own world. I feel like it does have that steampunk feel.
Well, it looks very grungy, mechanical, electrical. Another interesting aspect of this production is the set itself, and what's special about the set designer?
Well, yes, I know exactly what's special about the set designer is that she's my wife, Nina Paul. And we like to relate the word together as often as possible, but just enough not to, so she still likes me at the end of the day. And then from there, we started to build our space. We knew we wanted it to be a space that was really malleable, really simple, that really promoted the acting first. So we worked with these wagons in which we had worked in a similar vein last year on the salt plays over at Shotgun, that is of these moving wagons that could very simply set a scene, also can create simple illusions, but definitely not get in the way of the grander storytelling, and hopefully just support and promote that. What Nina found was to keep one side of these wagons into the blue world, so we could just really just have the sea, this open void of space, which feels really right for me when you watch it. But at the same time, that these things can be spun into Prospero's lab, and we can really explore this Da Vinci and Tesla inspired world. So we've created these wagons that inspire you to think about the science in which Prospero is creating, but you're not quite sure how it works. It's just a little out of focus, and hoping that your brain will take over and connect the dots in any way that you want to connect them, hopefully well guided by the choices that we've made.
Well, I thought that the set really worked. I thought Nina did a great job on it.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You better not.
yeah, there you go. Obviously, the centerpiece of it is this idea of what we've done with the concept of Ariel, controversially or no, which is to treat the actual idea of electricity, name electricity, Ariel, and have Prospero be the first human who has really harnessed electricity into a place where he can manage it, he can imprison it, and he can make it do what he needs it to do, and power what he needs it to power, and exact revenge the way he wants it to exact revenge for him.
I know that this year, Marin Shakespeare have given you a lot more professional actors, equity actors to work with than they normally do. I don't believe they had any last year, but this year I think that you have a record number.
Well, we definitely, we were so hard on casting. Leslie still looks at me with a particular glare when we think about how many auditions we had for the show, looking for just the right people.
Yeah, well, you have the always wonderful Lynn Sofer in there.
Oh, man, Lynn. This is the first time Lynn and I have ever been able to work together, and it's just been such a joy. But right next to her is Cassidy Brown, who I've known for at least 15 years, playing Stefano.
And marvelously.
And marvelously so, and it's you know, we just had such a great time.
Yeah, they're marvelous together. So let me ask you this. Bob Currier, who's your boss, is also playing a pretty decent-sized role in the show. How is it directing the boss?
Great. I mean, one thing is to call Robert the boss, but it's Robert. You know, he was just the sweetest, most heartfelt man who's so passionate about Shakespeare, and he's so easygoing. I think the hardest moment we had is when I said, Robert, I'd love you to play this role, but you have to cut your hair. And I think that was the toughest moment that we had, and he waited to the very end. People should come just to see Robert Currier clean cut for the first time in 20 years.
And he did it for you.
He did it. It was really, really sweet. And might I say on air that it looks good.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Well, he's a very handsome fellow.
There you go.
Well, look, if you enjoy an evening out under the stars watching some excellent actors have fun with Shakespeare, I recommend that you head to John Tracy's The Tempest, presented by Marin Shakespeare Company, running through September 25th at the Forest Meadows Amphitheater in San Rafael. If you want tickets, visit www.marinshakespeare.org. And John, thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Well, thank you so very much. Like everything that I put together, it's a piece that I hope just evokes people to talk and speak. It might not be, you know, for the purists, but maybe those are the exact people who should see it as well. I welcome the conversation with anyone who comes and sees it to come find me. They can find me through my website, which is johntracy.com. I'd love to talk to them about any of the thoughts on the show.
Thanks, John. That's John Tracy, everyone. Well, thank you for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.